Yes, it's time to rejoice and to be glad in the Lord, especially with just, 2 days to go, and then the excitement will start becoming real. I'd like to welcome each and all of you to today's worship service. You can see that it's a special kind of worship with no pulpit. And so we have to improvise and do the best we can. Let's take this time, if you wouldn't mind, to just turn to the person next to you. Please tell them, if you wouldn't mind, Jesus loves you, so do I. Amen. Amen. That's what the Christian faith and life is about. Sharing the love of Christ Jesus with one another and with oneself. Please do not forget those of you who might be visiting with us for the first time. You are a special welcome to you. This is God's house. Our arms are open to receiving you, and feel free at home. And if you will help us, just make sure you. I can't ever get my hair around too many colors, so I don't know if the little half sheet we have is gold or is yellow. But there is a sheet that looks almost like gold or yellow in your bulletin. If you fill out those sheets, it will be helpful to us. Thank you for doing that. Let me just explain for us the reason why our edifice looks like this today, especially the chancel looks like this. It's a special day for the kids. They are going to be having their play, which is going to be one of those things that we will do maybe in the first half of the service. So there's not going to be a children's time. The children's time will be the time for the play. Please remember Monday, which is tomorrow, 6 p.m. It's not 6 a.m. It's 6 p.m. Pete was able to catch that quick, and he wrote that and said, this is 6 a.m. We can't be here from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. And I said, that's true. Thank you. But it's 6 p.m. tomorrow. We'll appreciate if you will invite friends and family to come for this service. With that said, August wanted me to remind, and not just August, but the hospitality team wanted me to remind us about the padlock next week after service, that the fifth Sunday is going to be our all church padlock after church, so please remember that. Okay, with that said, I think we can go right ahead now and ask Ed and Melanie if they will come and light our fourth candle today.
This being the fourth Sunday of Advent, we're reading from Luke 1, 44 and 45. Elizabeth said to Mary, as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. We'll be lighting the Christ candle today.
A reading from Micah. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. whose origins are of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. And he will be our peace when the Assyrians invade our land and march through our fortresses. We will raise against them 7 shepherds, even 8 commanders.
Please join us in that prayer.
Come Lord of Jesus, we await your birth with great anticipation. And this time we will look for God's moment in the world and pray daily to be a part of God's work. Amen. Amen.
Let's all join together as we sing the first verse of Joy to the World.
Shall we stand, please? The Lord is good. Every sin, O King, that every preparing room, and every nature sing, and every nature sing.
Let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. If you would please remain standing for the call to worship, that would be great. But this is the season of standing, so just everybody is busy, so you can be busy and sit down. So let's do that here. If you would join me in the call to worship, the light shines. Good news, the light of the world comes. Those who lived in deep darkness, on them has the light shined. Good news, heaven and nature proclaim your arrival. The plains, the hills, the rocks, the fields, and the floor exalt and worship thee. O Lord and Savior, exceedingly great joy to the world, the Lord is come. Amen. We'll remain standing and sing, Hark, the Herald Angels Sing. Emmanuel, oh, the newborn King. Heal the heaven, Prince of Peace. Heal the Son of Righteousness. Sing with the endless wing, marvelous his glory bar, wonder man, no mortal, brought to red the sons of earth, but to get them second birth, hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Thank you. You may be seated. Would you please join me in the opening prayer? God of grace and mercy, we admit that Advent can be a challenging time. We are not accustomed to waiting. We live in the world of instant gratification, yet you call us to wait, to anticipate, and to prepare for the birth of your Son, the Savior, on Christmas Day. We've been counting the days, now we come only day and hours. When we begin the joyful celebration of this divine and mystical birth, this countdown generates a variety of emotional responses, excitement, joy, relief, at times uncertainties, and even panic. Provide us with a sense of calm, we pray. May the rhythm of our worship movement calm us so that we are prepared to receive anew the birth of Jesus, the Christ child. Amen. Amen. It is a blessing for me to introduce to you the children of Risen Friends United Methodist Church for a Christmas play.
Once many years ago, a young woman named Mary, she was engaged to marry a man named Joseph. Mary loved God very much. One day, God sent an angel to speak to Mary.
Mary, you are going to have a special baby. This baby will be called God's son. His name will be called Jesus.
I love God so much, I will accept this baby with happiness.
Then the angel went to go talk to Joseph.
Joseph, Mary is going to have a baby who is the Son of God. It's okay you to take Mary as your wife and take care of her. She will name the baby Jesus.
Okay, if you say so.
Shortly afterwards, Mary and Joseph and their faithful donkey traveled to the town called Bethlehem. had the baby Jesus and laid him in the baby. They tried to find room for the night. There was no room in the inn. They finally rested in the stable. Okay, right here. There Mary had the baby, Jesus, and laid him in the manger. Nearby shepherds were keeping watch over their sheep.
666, 667. Sheep, 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 I'm sick of sheep. I wish I had never taken this job.
I know what you mean. All I wanted was a little adventure. You know, fighting off wolves and seeing the world, some world. All I see is green grass and hundreds of sheep.
And the smell. Phew, who knew sheep smelled so bad?
I don't know. I kind of like it. Peace and quiet, plenty of rest. The sheep aren't in so much trouble.
Peace and quiet, no trouble. How can you get any rest with them baying all the time? It drives me crazy.
But just look at the skies. It looks so beautiful. What could it be better than that?
All I see is black sky covered with millions of white dots. What's so great about that?
Yeah, it's the same sky we see night after night.
While the shepherds were arguing out in the fields, Mary and Joseph found room in a stable. Back in the field, suddenly a brilliant light sky filled the dark sky. Terrified, they buried their heads in their hands.
Okay. What's happening?
It's the end of the world.
God, please help us.
Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared before them and said,
"Don't be afraid. I have great news. The Messiah is born. You'll find him, Bethlehem, laying in a manger."
The sky filled with angels praising God. Then, as suddenly they appeared, the angels were gone.
Did anybody else see what I just saw?
Of course we saw it. We're not blind.
Amazing,
Okay, I was just checking.
Amazing, can you believe it? God sent angels down to us, worthless shepherds. And now, wow, God chose to tell us the news of the century. Come on, let's go.
Go where?
To Bethlehem, of course, to the city of David, to see the Messiah.
The shepherds came and worshipped him. Wise men saw the star and followed it to Bethlehem too.
We saw the star and have found the Messiah.
We brought gifts for the newborn baby.
Follow me, Jesus is born. Follow me, Jesus is born.
The night of the angels sang joy about Jesus' birth. We still sing about his birth today. Please join us in singing joy to the world. Thank you for coming.
Merry Christmas. Say wave and say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, I'll do one.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Say thank you for coming.
He did that first.
Something. Great job, great job, great job, great job. All right, this is the season of sharing joys and maybe sometimes concerns too. So let's give the children another hand here. You want to stand up? Please stand up and just face the congregation. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. So, I know Santa brings gift to people, but the gift that Jesus brings is the gift that lasts forever. And all of you here are participating in that eternal gift for Christ. And we just want to thank you. So, in this pastor's box, we will have to appeal to moms and dads this morning that sometimes we got to bend the rules. No too much candy, but sometimes we have to let it happen, right? Okay, so I'm going to have you. This is the pastor's box. Just let's start from here. Come and take two stuff that you would like here. We got other stuff in here. Just take one and another one. Okay, there you go. All right. All right. Something healthy in there, I know. All right. Yeah, come on, come on. Yeah. And I think chocolate is healthy too, right? Ah, I see. They're all the same. Just take one and all there. All right. All right. Give the other people a chance. Give the other people a chance. All right. That's good. That's good. But that's your first gift in addition to what Santa might bring. That's enough. Okay. Well, we want to also say thank you to Carol, Linda, and others who help us with this program. And we just want to extend a word of thanks. Ministry happens not just one person, but the entire congregation comes together to make ministry happen. So Is Joy here? Joy, you want to come over? Joy. If you see this nice place, every time you say, oh boy, this is a beautiful edifice. Someone is responsible for that, right? We say thank you. Thank you. And then when we come and see that we are looking on the two corners of the building here, and there's nothing to read, then we start wondering, what's going on? What's going on? Everybody start panicking. Somebody will have to make it happen. So this is called Jean, who has been very, very helpful in doing this. And another thing about Jean is she does more than anything else that she ever got a little stipend from in this church. Yeah. So we just want to say thank you, Jean. Thank you. Appreciate it. Is Ron here? Okay, you want to take this little card to Linda for us, please? Linda could not be here. She's not well. But even in the midst of the difficult health condition she has, she tries her best to always do something, which we really appreciate. Thank you to all of you. We will continue the service. Maybe for the next few minutes we have left. So I'm going to read for us the text for today. Comes from Luke 1, 39 through 55. Those of you who got your bulletin before Sunday morning, you might have something else, but that's the text that we are reading this morning. This is an interesting text that almost summarizes what we celebrate today. May Christmas possible. Without this information, forget it. There would not have been what you call Christmas. Probably God would have devised another way. So at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greetings reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For God has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has kept those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. This is the word of God for the people of God. Would you please join me in reading the Apostles' Creed? I guess it's in your bulletins as some inserts, and also it's going to be on the screen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of sins, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I wanted to see if we could look at another signs of the Emmanuel. Peace on the horizon. We talk about so many different signs that accompany the birth of Jesus, including the angels speaking, including all of the things that were beyond human, mere human comprehension. And I know sometimes when we are faced with something that's beyond our question, you start saying, what? What was he thinking? What's going on here? You will express those kinds of feelings about what probably doesn't seem to make real sense to you. And I know when you think about it, as I reflect on two of the characters that are involved with the signs of the birth of the Savior of the world, I'm almost like saying the same thing. What? What is God thinking? What is he doing? Is he really aware of who we are? Is he aware of the society we live in? Is he aware of the culture that we are brought up in? Is he aware of what he's doing? Does he really understand the implications of what he's doing to those people that are involved? Well, let's think about it. A child between 12, 15 years old is pregnant. I know what the murmuring will be about. You mean what? Are you talking about? She's a little child. This is child abuse. Right? Somebody got to go to jail. What? What if that is not even... But think about a 70 years old, 75, being pregnant. I know what I can just assume what the gossip is going to be about. Is that really true? Is that really true? I can't believe that because it just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I've been to all of the biology classes that I've taken, and it just don't seem to connect anything with what I've learned. So what's going on? What's wrong with this girl? In fact, is there even somebody called a God? Well, then young Mary is going to, maybe this is what happens, at least to me. If I have a situation, I know there's someone who might identify with me, this is the person that I go to, right? And then Mary leaves and goes to see her cousin. And just as the angel had said to her, Elizabeth was nowhere around. When Mary had this encounter with the angel, but just as the angel had said to her, the cousin who herself is in a situation that have bonded her in her home. She's not even walking in the public any longer. She knocks at the door and then at the door to say, hi. The child within her is jumping, is leaping, is shaking with joy. And she affirms the words of the angel. And say, blessed are you. Blessed are you. You are the most blessed woman among all women. The moment you greeted me, the child within me leaped with joy. What sense does it make? What does this little fetus know that it will start jumping? Does it make sense to you? Not just of you, some of you are nurses, maybe retired nurses. That a little child will be able to know what's going on within his or his, I won't even say, the only environment this child has got is the womb. Has no experience with nothing outside. But this child is able to figure out in another person's womb, there is someone who is greater than him. This is God. This is the God that we serve. His deeds are beyond our understanding, our control. You can go and have all of the PhD in whatever you want to get. You cannot comprehend the word of God. Unless God chooses to reveal them to us. And this is what is going on. This is the God who is able to lift the lowest of the law and bring them to the status of society that even society won't even understand what's going on. So that you see a 12, maybe 13 years old saying in her song, I like that song. Let me just see if I can find it and see if I can read it. and then you will try to make sense of it. She says here, here's Mary. My soul glorifies. Usually it's magnify. My soul amplifies, extends. My soul is beyond joy, what you may call joy. But my soul is open to the God that I have never known, that I have no idea as a teenager. I think about teenagers today. And then all of a sudden you find one of them saying these things. It's not only that she's praising God and lifting God above all other powers. What in fact she's doing here is she's challenging the status quo. Because of all of the four gospel that we have, Mary in the history of the Christian faith is the only one who has given such a lengthy speech, especially in the culture. This, it was not the culture of today where every person has the right to speak. No. You're talking about an ancient culture. You're talking about a totally different culture. Women needed to be silent so that the men were the one who spoke, and there were specific men, not just all of the men in there. But this little girl has the courage to stand in the synagogue of the people and say, my soul magnify, my soul exalts. But she doesn't even stop there. Here's how she challenges this call. She says here that her God is able to lift the lowest up. And while God has the power to lift the lowest up to a higher status, God also has the power to bring down those who trust in themselves. Well, rulers. And I'm glad she didn't say leaders. She said rulers. And we have so many of them today. Rulers. Rulers are people who believe in themselves. Rulers are people who rule over their people. So she was challenging the status quo at the time and saying, look, what you think about maybe women, what you think about children, what you think about the God that we serve, I have a better understanding. This is what this God is about. It's the God of mercy. He's the God who is open to the humble. This is a song, I don't know if you know that song. It says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. God understands the language of the humble. The humble have a place, a special place in the kingdom of God, in the place that God has prepared for his people. Now, if that was not enough for Mary to tell these people that there's a need for them to be humble, to humble themselves, listen to the other one that she says. So she's not only talking about that one generation of people. She's saying all generations will call her what? Blessed. Unfortunately, with the commercialization of Christmas and all of the wonderful holidays, sometimes businesses make a lot of money. And so the essence of those days turn to something else. And the same holds true with Christmas. Yet there is an essence of Christmas that we all need to remember. Christmas is the time that God invaded the status quo of the world. It was the time that we celebrate God doing an upside down thing in the world. So that the high up needed to humble themselves, and those who were humble needed to be lifted up. The society doesn't understand that. The society doesn't understand this upside down thing that God is doing, turning everything around. God is not speaking to the priest. God is not speaking to the prophets. God is speaking to someone that no one ever thought of will ever be the one. Could that person be you? Could that person be you? That God was used, even during this Christmas, or just within your own places of wherever you might find yourself, maybe at your workplace, maybe at home, where someone is in your home who doesn't understand what it means to celebrate Christmas. And Christmas is all about things. We had a long line last night when we were going to Walmart to get some stuff. And I said, wow. Mary was very truthful when she said, all generations will call me blessed. Guess what? Some of those people that were over there, it was all about what? Things. But when it comes down, Christmas is not about things. Christmas is about God doing a new thing in the life of his people, in the life of society. Can we be the ones? Can you be the one? Can I be the one that can become an instrument of this new thing that God is wanting to do, so that the lowest of the low will be lifted up? And then those who are up there at least can see reason to humble themselves a little bit. This is the essence of Christmas. God doing a new thing. It's interesting, people who have never been to church, who have never probably, they might not even want to hear about Jesus, but they celebrate Christmas more than you and myself. Can we help them? Tell them, say, God is doing a new thing. How can God use you? That's why we share gift, because God gave us a gift on this day, the gift that leads to eternal life, not just here, all generations, even now and beyond. Then Jesus come along the way to affirm what Mary said when he was still in her womb with his beatitude. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God. Can we be those poor that God can refill us during this season, that we can be lifted up, or help to lift someone up, because that's what this day is about. Self-worth, not instant gratification, but allowing God's will to be done in and through us. Peace is on the horizon. When that happens, when we humble ourselves before the Lord, what God does is he showered us with his peace. Peace that doesn't have to be signed on paper. You know, in the war, in the conflict situation, people go and they sign this paper. We are signing peace paper. But you don't have to sign peace. Or just let it be written on your heart. Yeah. And then they say, oh, we've done everything. We spent all the money. We sent all the soldiers, and there's no peace. Well, peace is now on the paper. Paper doesn't bring peace. Peace is from the heart. True peace is from the heart. This is the season of peace. God bringing, reconciling two groups, totally distant group, the low and the high, coming together. And we can be instruments to bring that peace to our world, to our community, even in our homes. That's what we are called. That's our task. And it can't happen without being humble. And I listened to Little Mira this morning. She said, I accept this with joy because the Lord have said it. I was like, yeah, that's exactly what Mira would have said. I mean, that's what she said before. You may not be repeating the same words, but the fact that you say, I accept, that in itself is putting oneself aside and allowing God's will to be done in you and through you. And that's what we are called. That's what we are celebrating. We are not just celebrating Jesus. Yeah, this is the time we share all the cars, we share the food and all of that. Something, if Jesus is not in the midst, something is missing. Why don't you invite Jesus at our table this time? Let's invite him. Wherever and with whomever you will be celebrating, please just know that this is not your birthday. This is Jesus' birthday. This is the day we celebrate the peace of God that passes our understanding, the love of God that comes down to all. And humble ourselves. That's the key. Amen. It's time for us to have words of prayer here. Please take note of the prayer concerns that I written in the on the inserts in your bulletins. Just remember to pray for those concerns. Prayer is one of those things that keep believers together. No matter how distant you are from one another, your prayer will always be together. We'll always connect us. So let's pray for those. And if there are other joys and concerns you would like to share, how about we do that? I'm going to lift Linda up this morning, Linda Trumling. Linda was, like I said, when we gave the car, she was one of those who has been taking care of the kids all along. We've been trying to find someone to do, to take care of our Keep Children ministry here. We are in the process, but Linda has been helping in spite of the health issues she's having, which we really, really appreciate. She was supposed to have been here this morning. Now she couldn't be here, so let's just remember her.
I have a family I'd like to lift up. Actually, I have something really good. Let's start with the really good. My friend who had her baby back in March finally came home Thursday. She is doing very, very well, which is great.
Amen.
My husband's best friend, his wife just found out that her father has some kind of lymphoma. I can't remember what it is, too many words. But the doctors basically said, gather all your warriors around you and prepare for a really tough battle. So if we could just lift this is the Moss family. Lift the Moss family up and give them strength through this time and just pray really hard for the father. They really, I don't know too much about it, but it's very, very serious.
Yes. We lift them up in our prayers.
Okay.
All right, travel from the gathering. Let's continue to pray for each other. Let's pray for those of our members who are not able to be with us. Some of them are now termed as homebounds, and because, not that they are really sick per se, but because the more you get up there, for most people, it becomes difficult for them to, you know, move around. And so let's pray for them, as well as those who are not well. And then for those who, for some reason, they decide to stay away. Let's just pray for all of them and ask God to reach out to them and their families. Let's pray for this whole season. This is a big deal. Think about the number of people at the airport, and the airport keep saying, oh, you know, flight canceled. We have about 100 days, you know. Let's pray for traveling mercy for everybody. Time for joy. From the traveling to see each other. Let's have a moment of silent prayer. Thank you, dear God. Thank you for Jesus, who came into the world to show us who you are. And knowing who you are through him, help us to see who we are. Because unless we can be fully aware of who we are, it's going to be difficult for us to know the difference. You are God, and we are human, and being human in the flesh seems to be like a burden on us, because sometimes the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we pray, God, not to take us out of the flesh, but that's what makes us who we are. But Lord, that you will revive us. Revive our souls. May our souls magnify your name. This is the season of busyness, the season of expectation, anticipation, joy, peace, love. But all of those wonderful descriptions is not true for most people, most families. So we pray for those for whom these words are strangers because of their circumstances. There are some who are ill. There are some who find themselves in war situation. There are some right around in our neighborhood who have nowhere to go, that we have to roam around just to find the first meal to eat. Lord, this is the time of love. Open our eyes and our hands and our hearts. Just as you love this world, even though sinful, yet you came. Send your son to save us. May we be instruments in his hands to reach out and touch lives so that they will come to know you. Thank you for our time together this morning. Thank you for preparing us to know that Christmas is not about us, but it's about Christ. Help us to celebrate with his presence with us. We bless you. We honor you. We give you glory. Now, and forever, in Jesus' name, who taught us whenever we pray, we conclude with these words of prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Scripture tells us God loved us so much that he sent his son into the world to draw us to him. That's the greatest gift that we can ever receive. How about we reciprocate that gift with our offerings and tithes this morning? Please join me in the dedication prayer. Most gracious God, for the blessings of the Advent season, this and all this, we thank you. Accept, we pray, not just for this money, but also our lives freely offered in gratitude for all you have done, continuing to do in us, for us, and through us. Use them in this community and wherever you might take us. This prayer we offer in the name of your greatest gift to us and the world, even the Christ child. Amen. Maybe we be standing as we sing Joy to the World. When we have peace, we have joy. Peace is on the horizon, and we are called to be ambassadors of the peace that comes from God. Every Christian is called to be the ambassador of that peace that we enjoy with God. Tell someone your story, how Christ, how you've come to know him, and the anxious hearts will find reason to calm down, to have hope. Go in peace. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, abides and remains with each and all of us, now and always, in Jesus' name. Merry Christmas. Yeah, sir. What? Yeah. Oh. Oh. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh.